everybody.
Hello.
Welcome back.
Welcome back, friends.
This is Bev.
And this is Diz.
And this is
Trigger Warning.
Diz has a story for us today.
I got the story.
Oh, and she's got a song in her heart.
I'm dancing.
She is.
Okay, it's not a happy story.
She was literally dancing.
It was really good.
It was.
If I do say so myself.
Yeah, this should be a visual podcast.
No, it shouldn't.
No, it shouldn't.
Let's not talk like that.
Not after we've been working all day.
Not right now.
What you got for us,
Okay,
Diz?
So guys, today I have a true crime.
Oh boy, okay.
Mm-hmm. And the only trigger warning I really have is it involves death, like most of the true crime things that we talk about.
Okay.
So
yeah,
nothing else, just death.
So real quick before we get into it, I'm going to say our things.
Our stuff and things.
Yeah, we have a Facebook page that's called TW Podcast, hosted by Bev and Diz.
That's us.
And we have an email that's triggerwarning411@gmail.com.
That's us also.
And that's all the things we have right now.
Yay.
Yay. That's it. Okay.
Shall we get in?
Let's get in.
To the story.
Let's dive in.
Okay, guys.
Okay.
Here we go. This is the story of Karen LeClaire. So Karen Case LeClaire was born on August 10th, 1965, and was one of the youngest in a blended family that had 14 children.
Wow.
Woo!
Brady Bunch, eat your heart out.
Yeah. So people described her as caring and bubbly and sweet. She loved everyone. She loved traveling. She loved to be out on the water. And she loved to scuba dive, which she often did with her husband. So Karen and her husband, Chris LeClaire, dated through the 80s. And then in the 90s, they got married. One of her sisters said that Chris seemed completely crazy over Karen and swept her off her feet. So seemed to really love each other. They were happy. Fantastic.
I hate that the word seem is in there.
Right? But it's always in there when we're talking about true crime. Usually.
Yes, that's what makes me sad.
So after they got married, they opened a little bait and tackle shop.
Okay.
So we're actually, to us, we're up north near Lake Erie.
Okay.
On Lake Erie, actually.
Yay.
Okay?
I love the Great Lakes.
I know, right?
Woo-hoo. They're great.
So they had their little bait and tackle shop. Then they decided to buy a commercial fishing boat. It was called the Doris M.
Okay.
And they wanted to start using it for commercial fishing so they could just start making more money.
Okay.
Just simple as that. So Chris did most of the fishing. That was kind of his job.
Mm-hmm.
Karen actually worked in the accounting office at an auto dealership. So she would work, during the week. And then on the weekends, she would a lot of times go with Chris to go pull up his fishing nets that he had out.
Okay.
So they'd go out together on the boat on the weekends.
So she had a non-family business job.
And then
during
the week.
Okay.
Yes. To the crime.
Okay.
On Saturday, June 10th, 2017.
Oh,
right?
This is not that long ago.
No, it's not. You're thinking it's back in the 90s or something.
Yeah, because they got married in the 90s and they dated in the 80s. So I'm thinking this is like a 90s crime.
No,
okay.
This is not very long ago.
Okay.
Actually, almost 10 years ago. Is my math right?
Yeah, it's
this is 2025
now. So yeah, I don't do math, but that. Okay. But still, I mean, as compared to the 90s, it's not
right.
That long ago.
It's not that long ago at all. Feels like 5 years.
Yeah.
Okay. So June 10th, 2017, Chris and Karen go out to get their fishing nets. While out, Chris says that Karen actually fell on the boat.
Uh-huh.
And he said it was because she was dealing with ovarian cancer. So instead of trying to continue to get the fishing nets, they decided to go back in. Don't know if she was injured. Don't know anything about that. He just said she fell. They decided to go back, and they were going to go back out the next day to get the nets. So on Sunday, June 11th, they go back out to get the nets. And he says that at this time, she falls again, but she fell overboard.
Uh-huh.
and he had to go back to shore.
Right.
To get help.
Right.
Okay? So he said he was at the front. She was at the rear, which I believe is aft. So she was in the back of the boat.
Mm-hmm.
And he went back there. I'm not sure if he ever gave a reason why he went back or anything, but he said when he went back there, she was just gone. So he assumed she fell overboard.
Okay.
Didn't see her, ended up going back.
That or she was abducted by aliens.
Right, which, plausible.
Plausible. It's, okay. I hate these kind of stories. I'm so, because like, you know, like, has the guy ever watched true crime? Right, has he ever seen TV?
Because this is 2017, yeah, people.
Like, dude, you went out on a boat and your wife had an accident and fell overboard. Nobody's going to believe that.
No.
Even if that's legit what happened.
Everyone's going to suspect.
Nobody's going to believe that.
Right. Okay, so they're interviewing him about what happens, what had happened. And then right, like 10, 15, 20 minutes into their interview, he drops his bombshell. He says, oh, I have been involved in a 2-year-long affair with another woman.
Of course.
Her name is Tracy Butler.
Yeah.
But it was only sex. And Karen allowed it.
Didn't mean
because
anything.
She was sick and wanted him to, quote, have his physical needs met. End quote.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So investigators are like, well, that's interesting. So they go to talk to Tracy, who happens to be a single mom of two. Tracy says she and Chris have been together 5 years and saw each other a few times every week.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
They saw each other every week, 2 or 3 times a week. She said she was with Chris the weekend that Karen disappeared and that Chris had told her Karen had gone to Florida and that they were separated. She said, after seeing a newscast about a woman who had fallen overboard on Lake Erie, she called Chris and was like, hey, do you know anything about this lady that fell off? And he's like, no, I don't know anything.
His pants are on fire.
Yeah.
So his pants have been ignited.
They've been
ignosiated.
Ash
pants.
Yeah.
Okay, guy so. This is dumb. Why? Oh my gosh.
So Chris has been lying. They're talking to Tracy, the other woman. So then they go to talk to Karen's co-workers.
Mm-hmm.
And they tell the investigators that Chris had told Karen's boss that she had cancer. But colleagues said that when Karen was asked about it, she denied that she had cancer. She's like, no, I don't have cancer.
What?
Okay. Weird.
I mean, how is he saying that she fell overboard because of her cancer anyway?
Like, I don't know. None of it makes sense.
Her ovaries jumped up and down and made her lose her balance.
I don't know. Because I'm like, he never mentions chemo or anything where, like, you know, yeah, kind of knocks you out for a day or two. No.
He was probably just like, if I just tell male cops that she had woman cancer, that they'll just be like, they won't know what to do, yeah, so they'll just walk away.
So, police by this time are thinking he's made up this cancer diagnosis to justify her disappearance and his affair.
Right. That's okay? What it sounds like.
It's exactly what it sounds like. Now we're going to talk about the video.
Oh, there's a video?
Investigators are able to get a surveillance video from Erie Port Authority for Dobbin's Landing. Mm-hmm. And that's where the Doris M, their boat, was anchored.
Okay.
So on Saturday, June 10th, one day before she disappears, she and Chris are seen on the video arriving in the parking lot and parking near the slip where the boat is.
Okay.
They actually call it being parked. The ship is parked. Isn't that funny? So it's parked in its slip area.
Mm-hmm.
So they're both seen boarding and leaving at about 12:30 out onto the water.
Okay.
Chris said that this was the day that they went out. She fell.
And they decided to come
back. Because of her cancer.
Right.
And they decided to come back. However, according to footage, when the Doris M returned that day that he is saying she just fell and they came back.
She wasn't
She was parked farther away from her slip.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. And only Chris is ever seen disembarking and leaving the area.
I knew it.
Right? Okay, so he's saying, we came back, we're going to go back out the next day to get the fishing nets. So, on to the next day, Sunday, June 11th. Chris comes back to the boat at 12:06 and then heads out onto Lake Erie. According to him, he's saying, Karen's with me. We get on the boat. We go out to get our nets. So investigators are like, well, he's a big fat liar. Mm-hmm. And they're like, okay, we got to get this timeline down. We got to see exactly right. What's happening. So they go back and talk to Tracy again. And she says...
Tracy's the mistress.
She is the mistress, okay. Yes. Uh-huh. She says that on June 10th, she and Chris were meeting at 2 o'clock for lunch, but that he never showed and he never answered her text messages. Okay? At 4, Chris finally responds to her. He sends a photo of himself on the boat and tells her, oh, I'm cleaning the nets. Okay? Right. She's like, okay. So they make plans, and at 7, they meet up for dinner, and Chris decides to spend the night at Tracy's house, which she said is strange because he never did that before.
He never did that because he had a wife.
Yeah.
But he doesn't have a wife anymore.
So he spends June 10th night with Tracy, even though he has said he was at home with Karen.
Right. Because she had a spell that day because of her cancer and fell on the boat.
So he wouldn't leave her.
No. He would need to be at home taking care of his sick wife.
So on June 11th, between 10 and 11, Chris leaves, according to Tracy, telling her that he needs to go back out and continue to clean the nets. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of cleaning.
Yeah. What is he doing? Cleaning them with a toothbrush? How do you clean the nets?
I have no idea.
I didn't know the nets needed to be cleaned.
Know that they do? I have no idea. I don't know.
I'm not a fisherman.
Same. So she also says that on June 9th, so that's 2 days before Karen disappears, she gave Chris an ultimatum. She said he had until the weekend to decide between her or Karen, or she would call Karen and talk to her.
Oh, boy.
Okay.
So June 9th, you're the mistress, please don't do that, because then the wife gets murdered.
Yeah. You would think you would go after the mistress. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Anyway, so June 9th, ultimatum. You got to either tell her, choose between us, or I'm going to. June 10th, they go out, and allegedly she falls, and they come back together. June 11th, oh my gosh, she fell overboard. Okay. So that's June 11th that... she disappears. She goes overboard, according to him. On June 13th, Chris is arrested.
That was quick.
Woohoo!
Yeah.
Just a note right here. At this point, Karen's body has not been found. Okay. There is no body. That's hard to charge people when there's not a body.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, it's Lake Erie.
Right?
It's called an inland sea for a reason.
It's massive.
It's kind of bigly.
It is bigly.
It's ginormous.
So, this was June 13th is the last date we've talked about, and that was when he was arrested. So, we're going to move forward 3 weeks.
Okay.
July 4th, which a lot of my stories seem to hinge upon July 4th.
Yes. Well, a lot of them happen on water and in boats, apparently.
And that's when a lot of people are out on the lakes.
Yeah.
So, a family is out July 4th weekend. I don't know if it was a weekend or if it was a day, you know.
Well, yeah. But enjoying we'll the 4th say, of July yes. celebrations.
And they're fishing. And they see a blow-up doll in the water.
Oh, no. It's
and as they get closer, they realize it's a real body.
It's like the people from Crime Junkie podcast say, it's never a mannequin. It's never a blow-up
it's
doll
It's never a blow-up doll, you guys. Yeah. You have to go in assuming it's a real dead body.
Yeah.
And then hope it's a mannequin or whatever.
Yeah,
I hope,
yeah. Oh,
so
gosh.
Where they find this is just offshore of Dunkirk, New York, which is about 50 miles northeast of Erie, Pennsylvania. Because, like, once you get up in there, it's like everything's so close.
Right.
Closer to the Great Lakes. It's really, look at a map, you'll see. Hey, I called it a map, not a calendar.
Oh, good job. You're growing as a person.
I'm learning every time. Okay, so we're going to talk about the body. So by this time, Karen's body had been in the water of Lake Erie for 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. She was bloated and decomposing. Mm-hmm. When they get her body out of the water, they see a two-tone blue rope had been tied around her ankles. I mean, that's what happens when you fall overboard.
Yeah, when your ovaries make you just jump off because they have cancer. Yeah.
And there was a white rope that they described as like a typical nautical rope that was tied around her chest, like under her armpits and stuff, like her upper chest. It was tied around there. And an anchor was tied to it. Come on now.
I mean,
are you serious right now?
I just didn't even have words there. That's, I'm not even going to cut that silence out of here. I know. That was just because that was honest. Like, that was just an honest, I don't even know what to say.
When I read that, I could not. And I kind of.
Again, has he never seen TV?
Right?
A body in water always ends up with gases and bloating and always ends up coming to the surface no matter what you weigh it down with.
It's crazy.
Ugh.
Okay. So they were able to confirm it was her by dental records, and it was determined that she died from a single gunshot wound to the head. But that's what happens when you fall overboard.
Right.
So investigators are like, well, we got to get on this boat. So they get on to the Doris M, find a two-tone blue rope that was cut from a hammock that had been left on board.
Of course.
And they also see a locker where a set of anchors are usually stored, and one anchor was missing.
Of course.
So there's that.
And a set of anchors, so does the other anchor match? Like, are they, like, sets, like screwdriver sets would be or something?
I don't know.
Like, they all have, like, the same, like, pink tip or something?
Well, what's funny is that this is 3 weeks after Chris has already been arrested.
Yeah. Well, he only had 3 days to cover his tracks, and apparently he did not clean up his boat. He was cleaning his nets, but he wasn't cleaning up the anchors and all that stuff.
He was quote-unquote cleaning his nets. Yeah. Okay, so we've got him arrested, her body is found, gunshot wound to the head, tied around the ankles, another rope around her chest.
I
want to
know what his freaking story is now. He's like, well, she must have fallen, and then somebody shot her when she was in the water.
She got wrapped in the ropes.
Yeah.
She must have been on the hammock, lounging. Yeah. She flipped over. Sorry, I don't mean to laugh, but seriously.
No, I mean, I'm not laughing at her. I feel for her, because I'm laughing at him because he's so stupid.
So stupid. But thank goodness for that.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm so glad there are stupid criminals.
Yeah.
Plus, it's fun to make fun of them.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, this guy, like I said, he's never seen TV. He's just never watched a television program at all. Like, he's not even trying.
Okay, so the trial begins October of 2018. So this all occurred in July.
Okay.
The finding of the body.
Right.
June, July.
So over a year.
Over a year, which, I mean, it's a big case. Normal. So, yeah. So you're wondering what his story is now.
Yes, I am wondering.
So his defense said, Chris didn't kill Karen. Karen killed Karen.
Okay, she wrapped herself in an anchor and shot herself in the head.
He said he was at the front of the boat. She was at the back. He heard like a loud bang or boom.
He didn't mention that originally.
And he ran back and he found her dead on the deck with the revolver. Hello, Clue.
And all, with the revolver.
It was Karen LeClaire with the revolver. Yeah. Sorry, again, I'm being silly, but it just blows my mind.
Yeah, it's the dumbest.
So he finds her dead on the deck with the revolver.
And instead of being like, oh my God, she killed herself, let me call the authorities, while the evidence is still very obvious that she did this, because the evidence would be there.
Right.
Let me do this. Instead, he's like, let me wrap an anchor around her and toss her overboard and then cover it all up.
Interesting. So his defense says also he didn't want people to think poorly of her for killing herself.
Oh, please.
So that's why he tied the anchor to her and dropped her body into the lake.
Oh, my gosh.
So that it would save face as far as her.
Yeah, right. But what if it makes you look like you murdered her, Chris?
Right? So acquaintances of Chris tell investigators that several times He had told them of plans to kill his wife and drop her body into Lake Erie.
Oh now, my God, this is the dumbest dude I have ever heard of.
I'm like, can you stand it?
Why would he tell people this?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. And then I'm like, did they really say that? Or were they just like, he's a jerk and we don't like him? Like, I don't know.
I don't know. Well, judging from what he's told the authorities so far and his stories, he's probably dumb enough to tell them exactly what he planned to do.
Yeah, he probably is. He probably got drunk and told
them. Probably thinking these things. And then when his mistress gave him the ultimatum, he's like, well, I guess it's time for me to carry out my dastardly plan.
He wouldn't use that word.
Dastardly, I know.
He wouldn't know that word. I was
channeling Scooby-Doo.
The mystery game. Mystery machine. Okay, so obviously prosecutors bring all the evidence. Mm-hmm. The defense is, we'll just say, weak.
Right.
And the jury goes in to deliberate. And in less than 2 hours, they come back and find him guilty of first-degree murder.
As I am they shot.
The judge sentences him to life in prison without the possibility of parole.
Mm-hmm.
Plus 17 years, up to 17 years, for the following additional charges.
Okay.
Abuse of a corpse.
Mm-hmm.
Tampering with evidence.
Mm-hmm.
Possession of an instrument of crime.
Oh.
Firearms not to be carried without a license.
Uh-huh.
And filing a false police report.
Oh, wow.
The judge also ruled that Chris had to pay, there's two different numbers, $705,974 or $424,180.20 to the U.S. Coast Guard for the massive search that went out when he filed that false report.
Right. And for being stupid.
In that search, the following were used. Two C-130 planes, one from Elizabeth City, North Carolina, the other one that came from Canada.
Uh-huh.
Two Coast Guard helicopters, and two boats that were from Erie. Now, interestingly, this was later overturned by another appeals judge, and it was ruled that the U.S. Coast Guard could not be a victim because it was not a person, it is an entity. It's a... You know, it's like a, I'll say a business.
But it doesn't matter. Like, he filed a false police report that ended up costing a lot of money.
A lot of money. Yeah. I found that very.
If you park your car on train tracks and a train hits your car, you are responsible.
Yeah.
For the cost incurred by the train being derailed and all that stuff. Like,
and that's just like,
and if, just delaying their business.
If you call and you need an ambulance, you're paying for that ambulance service.
Yeah.
So if you call and you don't really need them, but you go anyway, you're paying for that.
Yeah.
I'm like, how is that any different than the U.S. Coast Guard?
And this is even worse because Elizabeth City, North Carolina and Canada, this is hundreds of miles.
Yeah.
Just to get there, all the fuel, very the personnel.
I really found it was crazy. I don't know. That really surprised me though, because like I said,
and I do watch TV and I've seen movies where people have faked their own kidnappings.
Yeah,
and they get besides the false police reports and stuff, they get in trouble for the cost of the search and rescue and all the man hours put into searching for them and stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not real, but whatever.
But I'm pretty sure that's accurate.
I think it should be legit. Because then the people, they also use that time when they could have been looking for other people. What if they needed, you know, what if they were needed somewhere else and because somebody else legitimately was lost at sea or something like that and they needed those planes somewhere else? Ugh.
And also, one thing they said is, like, plus he wouldn't be able to pay it because he's in prison.
Well, yeah, but
that's not the point.
Yeah. I mean, it should still be hanging over his head. And if he makes money, you know, in his little account or whatever, 27 cents a day for doing laundry or something,
then that should go to the U.S. Coast Guard or whatever.
Yeah.
I agree. In August 2019, there was a news article, and it said that in prison letters that Chris had written, he says that he actually found Karen's body in Lake Erie, but the police forced him off the lake and he had to leave her body. Okay?
That doesn't make any sense.
That's what he says. And then in the same article, it says that Tracy said she and Chris had been off and on since 2013. She lived with him for 8 months in Albion, which I believe is in Pennsylvania, and even worked on his boat with him. Also in the prison letters.
But he and Karen were still together.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they weren't separated at all, either.
Even though he was living with his mistress for 8 months?
I don't know how that works, unless...
Unless they separated for a while and then maybe, got back together or something, but...
I don't know. So, also in prison letters from him, this is interesting, it was determined that his father, Ernest LeClaire, who was like in his 70s, had moved the gun Chris had used and had hidden, which was a 38 Smith & Wesson, and so he was charged with tampering with evidence, because in the letters, Chris was pretty much asking him to move it, which is just the stupidest thing.
Yeah.
But that explains a lot.
Hey, Dad, you know that gun that I am guilty of using to kill my wife? Do something with it. I'm sure it'll be fine, and you won't get in any trouble.
So I couldn't find exactly what his sentence, like how much time Ernest LeClaire spent in prison.
Right.
But it was anywhere from like a week to a year that he would have to spend, which is a huge...
Yeah. Who knows? He may have been sentenced. He may have ended up with probation, depending on what his past looks like and stuff.
Yeah.
And his age and stuff. Like, maybe he legit thought that his son was innocent and was like, well, this gun will make it look bad, so, you know, I'm just going to put it away or whatever. Right. But, so I guess it kind of depends on the circumstances and who he is as a person and his age and stuff. But
yeah,
just really stupid of Chris to even involve his father in that.
But that just sounds like him.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
Or for his dad to do it.
He told his friends, I'm going to kill my wife. So, you know, why not? He probably told his dad that. Whatever.
So to this day, Chris still says he's innocent.
Right.
He didn't do it.
He didn't do it. She killed herself and he just threw her over the boat because he didn't want people to think badly of her.
Yeah. So that's actually the end of the story so far. So this is a really short one today,
but
I thought this was crazy.
He didn't want people to think badly of her, but he thought so little of her that he was okay with carrying on an affair for 5 years while he was married to her.
Yeah.
And he'd been married to her for at least 2 decades, probably.
Yeah.
Absolutely. What a chump.
I don't even have the words to describe him.
I mean, and he is probably the dumbest person I've ever heard of.
One of the dumbest criminals I've ever read about. That's for sure.
I mean, camera footage and telling people ahead of time what... He didn't get a story straight with his mistress ahead of time, so she completely blew his alibi and stuff out of the water. Like,
thank goodness.
He just... what an idiot.
Like, yeah, it's the audacity. The audacity.
Did you find anything about her autopsy as far as did she actually have cancer?
No, I was just thinking about that. Yeah. No, I couldn't find anything about that.
She probably didn't. He probably was just like, yeah, that's probably what he told Tracy her boss and stuff so that.
It doesn't seem like she would have been the type to not tell her coworkers.
Yeah, yeah.
Or her boss.
Well, she would have had appointments and stuff and would have had to probably leave work sometimes to go to appointments.
Yeah, and for them to be like, we asked her, but like, hey, sorry, we heard you have.
Yeah.
Ovarian cancer. And she's like, I'm not sick.
Yeah.
Like, it's just crazy.
That makes no sense except to cover his ass. And it doesn't.
And it's like,
doesn't make sense.
Would she have confronted him maybe? Been like, why are you telling people at my work that I have cancer?
Right. Yeah.
And that also be a reason?
Possibly. Because
she's starting to like.
I just think it's very interesting that. And I'm not saying that it's Tracy's fault at all because she. Was living her own life. She, you know, she had no way to know that he would take it as far as he did. But I think it's interesting that the weekend after she said, it's her or me, you need to make a decision, he went through with this.
He clearly made a decision.
But he'd already been thinking about it, obviously, because he told his friends about it before that.
And I'm guessing he just wanted to get rid of his wife so he could go be with Tracy and her kids. I don't know.
Yeah,
and they didn't have children either, so.
Yeah.
That made me wonder if maybe she did have some sort of
maybe medical... they just agreed that they never wanted
maybe
to.
Maybe it just never happened.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
Maybe it never happened because he was always having an affair with somebody.
True that.
I just feel bad for Karen because she, I mean, she was working and then helping him with not an easy job.
Well, it's like, just divorce her if you don't want to be with her.
Yeah.
What the heck?
So what if you have to split your boat?
I'm sure, like, she really wants half of it.
Yeah, she probably would have been like, keep your stupid boat. I have a full-time job elsewhere. Who
cares?
Well,
they also had the little tackle place.
Yeah.
I think they still had their little shop, too.
But I mean, like, I don't know. Divorces make people crazy jerks and stuff. But even if they ended up having to split that or whatever, like, she had a job and she may have just said, keep the boat in the tackle shop. I don't care. I don't want to have anything to do with you.
Yeah.
And then she had a full-time job doing something else. So they could have, it was possible they could have just split, like, amicably and moved on with their lives.
Yeah.
Because they didn't have kids, it could have been done in 6 months, probably.
In no time at all.
Yeah.
None. And then he could have moved on with Tracy.
Yeah.
And then
started having an affair on her, I'm sure.
Yeah. And plan on killing her.
Yeah. I hope not, but probably. When he got bored.
Well, that's the thing. And she comes with kids. I don't want to say baggage, but with children.
Yeah.
I don't know what their ages were or anything, but it's like...
But kids usually make things more stressful.
Yeah.
More financially stressful and everything.
There's just
more to it.
Yeah. So instead of just leaving one person, he's leaving her and children if he decides he doesn't want to do this anymore.
Yeah. I just don't...
I know. It's just, you don't really have the words.
Yeah, I don't understand anybody that does that. And especially after that long together.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the stories where the husband kills the wife or vice versa, a lot of them are like within the first couple of years. Sometimes it's on the frickin' honeymoon.
Yeah.
But,
yeah,
you know, a lot of them are like within the first few years that they realize the honeymoon is well over and they are... not happy together.
Yeah.
Or, you know, their kids are young and things
that
just aren't
stress.
You know, yeah. And things just are not where they wanted to be. And, you know, and they find a mistress or something and suddenly they're like, oh, I feel young again. And, you know, all this responsibility is just getting me down, you know. But so for them to have been together since the 90s.
Like 20 years most likely, or close to it.
Yeah, and they knew each other before they got married, you know, from the 80s to 2017. Yeah. And then suddenly he says, okay, now I'm done?
It's like, what has to happen in, I don't know, his life, his brain, whatever, to go from what seemed like they were in love to him wanting to kill her?
Yeah.
That is so...
I don't get that at all.
So opposite.
Yeah.
It's like, what happened? Because it's not like they never said that they were like financially in trouble. You know, I know finances are really stressful on people.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, they did get that boat to make more money, but I don't think the little bait and tackle shop was like going under anything.
Right. Yeah.
Because they had the money to get the boat.
Yeah. And she was working full-time somewhere else, which was a stable income.
Yeah.
And he, like, nobody, you didn't see anything or say anything about a life insurance policy or anything like that.
No, nothing was ever mentioned about a life insurance policy.
Because it sounds like the motive basically was just that he was having an affair and he wanted to
be with
his
mistress. Could it be like a midlife crisis for him? I'm trying to think, like, how old he would have been.
Well, she was
probably
born in, what, 65, so...
He was... I think he was 48 and she was 51 or something like that, maybe.
So, yeah, maybe. I don't know.
For whatever reason, he was just like, no, who knows? I don't know. It was just a little bit dumbfounding.
It's a crazy story because, one, it's very sad that any marriage ends that way. Someone that you loved, whether you love them now or not, I don't understand how you could hurt someone that you once loved.
Yeah.
And then two, because he was just so freaking bad at it. He is just bad at murder.
Like, it's offensive.
Yeah. I'm like, I just don't even know how to explain to him. Dude, you suck. You're bad.
That works.
It's good that you're bad at it.
It helps. Because
it was really easy to catch you and put you away forever.
I mean, considering they had him within like 2 days.
Yeah. They're like, we're just going to go ahead and nope you on out of here, buddy, because you're just stupid. We're just going
to go ahead and bring you in and put you in the jail.
It's like every time you open your mouth, another little lie comes out and we have another way to figure out how. And then his
defense was so idiotic.
Yeah.
And it's probably like those attorneys were probably like, oh my gosh, we got to do something because we need to get paid or whatever.
Yeah. They're like, let's throw some funny reasons in a hat and just pull one out and use it.
It's like, was this like the state, like, you know, an attorney will be provided for you?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Is that what he got?
Yeah. He got.
And they were like, whatever, man.
The newest guy in the place that just started last week. And they're like, hey, this idiot killed his wife. We need you to defend him.
We can't have the good people going in with this.
He's going to end up having to pay the Coast Guard $500,000, so he doesn't have the money to pay for a lawyer.
So we just need someone to go in and take care of this.
Yeah. Just go in and say that, I don't know, that she
killed herself.
Doing cartwheels and hit her head on a gun and fell over or something. Like, just make something up. We know he's going to
get... She got wrapped up in the rope.
We know he's going to be found guilty. Ugh, oh my God.
Anyway,
poor Karen LeClaire.
That was the story of Karen LeClaire and
rest in peace, Karen LeClaire.
Yes, and I'm really sorry to all of her family members, friends, and everything. That is, it is heartbreaking because she seemed like a fantastic and amazing woman.
Yes,
and she really loved people, and of course,
we were joking a lot in this one, but I am making fun of him and how stupid he was. Yeah, I am not making fun of her
or the situation as far as she's concerned at all.
Yeah, she was. I'm sure an awesome person, and that's why it bothers me that he could kill somebody that he loved. Yeah.
Everybody loved her.
He loved her at one point.
Yeah.
Okay, well.
Anyway, guys, that was the story. Let us know what you think.
Yep. And
again, we're not making fun of her. Please don't come at us.
Yeah. we're not. I'm making fun of him. Because he's dumb.
Yeah, he's a jacktail.
In fact, if you want to email us with your best insult about Chris LeClaire, I want to hear the most creative one.
That's a great idea. Yeah,
let's do it. Say something nice about her,
and then
tell us your most creative insult about him. I would love that.
Oh my gosh, I cannot wait to see would be what these say.
So cool.
Please, please, please do it.
So, all right. Well, so hopefully we'll catch you soon, and we will... catch you on the flip side. Oh, and our email is triggerwarning411@gmail.com.
Yes, it is.
And our Facebook is TW Podcast, hosted by Bev and Diz. And we'll talk to you later.
Bye, guys. Watch for deer.